And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. It's a special day for our country. And I'm going to share with you some things about our country. I'm proud to be an American. Amen? Can I get a witness? If you're proud to be American, say, I'm proud to be an American. That just means I love this country. This country was established on godly principles. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, Solomon had just built the temple. And this was part of the dedication service that he was dedicating the temple that he built. And there's this little passage in what the Lord said to Solomon in verse 14, said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Oh, I thought the Lord was going to humble me. No, you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And in a couple different translations, the New Living Translation talks about restoring their land. The Message Bible, I want to read this to you. This is the Message Translation. It says, and my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked ways or wicked lives. I'll be ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. I like that. That's from the Message Bible. This is the New Century Version. It says, if my people who are called by my name are sorry for what they have done, if they pray and obey me, stop their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. And then the NET Bible says, if my people who belong to me humble themselves, pray, seek to please me, and repudiate their sinful practices, then I will respond from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Do you realize that you as an individual have been given the power and the authority by God to change a nation? So my message to you today is changing the heart of a nation. If you're going to change the heart of a nation, you're first going to have to deal with your own heart. If you want things to change in your life, then guess where the change needs to begin? With me. All right? I want to read you some quotes of our founding fathers. Okay? And here's what makes a founding father. There were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. 14 presidents from 1774 to 1789. The first 4 to 6 presidents of the United States, beginning with George Washington. These are all considered founding fathers. Okay? 36 prominent military leaders of the Revolutionary War. 55 men in the Constitutional Congress. 38 signers of the Constitution. And 13 state governors responsible for leading the ratification of the Constitution, 90 members of the First Congress, creators of the Bill of Rights, the earliest members of the Supreme Court, and others like Patrick Henry, Noah Webster, and Thomas Paine, who called for the Constitutional Convention. So these are our founding fathers, okay? And here's some things that they said. All right, these are pretty amazing. I thank God for the internet. Amen. I got a quick history lesson, and I want to share these with you because I believe that we can change the heart of our nation. I believe that if Christians would stop complaining about how things are going and come to church and pray, imagine what things can change in our government. I don't see people say, I just saw this on the news, let's pray. Come on now. Okay. John Adams and John Hancock said this. We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. And after they said this, 3 days prior to this, John Hancock, who was the president of Congress, called for a day of prayer, fasting, humiliation, and abstinence from work, calling us all Christians and imploring us to pray that the eyes of the King of England would be opened. Can you say amen? This is part of our heritage. Okay? John Adams said this, the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Do we have any doubt that our nation was founded as a Christian nation? Amen. Our nation is a Christian nation. But there are some things that are taking place that want to subdue that. Benjamin Franklin, who was both the author of the Declaration of Independence and he also signed the Constitution, said this, God governs in the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid. Or is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Benjamin Franklin. And after he said this, they made an appeal. This was at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. And after he said this, they made an appeal for prayer by Franklin was moved by James Madison and seconded by Roger Sherman, who was a chaplain, who was also one of the signers of one of these documents. Okay? Benjamin Franklin said this in 1749 in a plan of education for public schools in Pennsylvania. He insisted that schools teach the excellency of the Christian religion above all others, ancient or modern. He wanted Jesus to be taught in our schools. In 1787, Franklin helped founded Benjamin Franklin University. It was dedicated as a nursery of religion and learning built on Christ, the cornerstone. These were men that God used to help form this nation. Can you change the heart of a nation? Yes. Through God, through prayer, through faith. Will it be an easy road? Not necessarily. But you know what? He'll give you strength. He'll give you power. He'll give you everything that you need to take a stand. I was pretty inspired by these quotes. And this is not even the Bible. Alexander Hamilton, on July 12, 1804, at his death, Hamilton said, I have a tender reliance on the mercy of the Almighty. Through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I look to him for mercy. Pray for me. Wow. Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." Wasn't that him? In his last will and testament, he wrote, "This is all the inheritance I can give my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed." Wow. Patrick Henry also said, "The Bible is worth all other books which has ever been printed." Thomas Jefferson, he said, "The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend to the happiness of all men." He also said, Thomas Jefferson, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus." Wow. And then Thomas Jefferson said, "I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Okay? James Madison. Oh, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 33. Remember I said I was going to read a scripture? Isaiah 33. All right? This is powerful. Have you ever wondered how we got three branches of government? James Madison, when he proposed three branches of government, referenced this scripture. Isaiah 33, verse 22. "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord our king." And so James, at the Constitutional Convention of 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into three branches. He discovered this model of government from the perfect governor as he read Isaiah 33:22. Can you imagine that? It came from the Bible. Okay? Noah Webster. I just have a few of these, few more of these. Are you okay with this? All right. Noah Webster, he defined words, doesn't he? Everybody at least one time uses a Webster dictionary. Okay? He said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that of the Christian religion, or than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of free people. And on nearly every page, the Bible was quoted to assist defining a word in the 1828 dictionary that he wrote." Imagine that. Yeah. Noah Webster also said the Bible was America's basic textbook. He said, "Education is useless without the Bible." That was Noah Webster, our Christian heritage. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And George Washington also said, "What students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ." That was at a speech to the Delaware Indian Chiefs, May 12, 1779. And Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law from 1768. 100 years considered as final word and was quoted by the courts as such contained so much scripture that it was instrumental in the salvation of Charles Finney, the famous preacher of the Second Great Awakening, after he read it in 1818 as a law student. They referenced the writers of our founding fathers referenced the Bible 34% in their quotes. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. So we got to get back to this. Amen. Charles Habib Malik, he was the UN Security Council member, ambassador from Lebanon in 1958. He said this, "The good in the United States would never have come into being without the blessing and power of Jesus Christ. Whoever tries to conceive the American word without taking full account of the suffering and love and salvation of Christ is only dreaming. I know how embarrassing this matter is to politicians, bureaucrats, businessmen, and cynics. But whatever these honored men think, the irrefutable truth is that the soul of America is at best, its best and highest, Christian." So those are some things. I put a few of those quotes in the back of your bulletin. Obviously, I couldn't put them all. But how many know how you want to know how to change the heart of a nation? Say, I want to change the heart of this nation. But I want to change my heart. You're not going to bring about any change in anything unless a change first occurs in you. That'd be like the sons of Sceva trying to cast out a devil, and they say, "I come to you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul knows." And the devil said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you?" They had no clue who Jesus was, but they were trying to do something which they had no knowledge of, no revelation of, no experience of. So if you want to bring change, then open your heart to change. Amen? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. So in the passage, in our text, we've got to humble ourselves. What does it mean to be humble? To put your trust in God alone, not in yourself, not in your position, not in your background, not in your experience, but to trust Christ alone. That's what it means to be truly humble. It doesn't mean to do without. No, it means to put your trust in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, it says, verse 31, "Envy not the oppressor, choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly." That word lowly means humble. What does God do? He gives grace, ability, power, strength, favor to the humble, to those who are righteous, to those who trust in him. You know, you got to trust in God. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. That takes trust. God is asking you to trust in something you've never seen with your natural eyes, that you can't even see with your natural eyes. His light would burn your eyes out. He's so awesome. He's so glorious. He's so powerful. You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, the proud, they rely on self. I'm a self-made millionaire. Really? So you had no help whatsoever making those millions. You did it all on yourself. Give me a break. Listen, everybody, every person on this earth, there's going to come a point in time that you will have to lean on someone at some point in time. You might as well lean on the rock, which is higher than I. Okay? God gives grace to the humble, favor to the humble. All right? Humility brings wisdom. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I'm going to kind of jump around today. Is that okay? Literally, no. I mean, we ought to jump around today, don't you think? We ought to just stand up and practice dancing in the Spirit. Why would you do that? Because it sets an atmosphere. We're not going to do that, but we might. Who knows? Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 14. And Jesus was talking about two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector. And in verse 14, he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Well, we have a choice. Do I want to focus on self, I, me, or do I want to focus on him, his greatness, his power, the Almighty God? Amen? Do you think Jesus humbled himself? Absolutely. He was sitting in heaven, not bound by any limit. He was not bound by time. He was not bound by physical limits. He was not bound. He could do anything he wanted to do. And he came and gave that up to be a man and walk the earth to for the first time experience hunger, pain, sorrow, loneliness, to be tempted. God wasn't tempted while he was sitting up in heaven, but when he was a man, he was tempted at all points like we are. He humbled himself. And you know what happened? Because he humbled himself, he got the highest position. See, when you humble yourself, when you say, "I'm going to trust God, I'm going to decrease so that he can increase, I'm going to exalt God," then he's going to bring you up with him. He's going to say, "Put on your seatbelt and enjoy the ride." Going up? He's going to be like a bellhop. He's going to open the door. He's going to say, "Going up? Your future looks brighter. Going up? Let's go up. Not down. Up." He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. He pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And before he set me on the rock, he washed me and cleaned me and made me pure. So he washed off all the mud, all the stain, all the stench. He who exalts himself shall be abased. You know what happens before a fall? Pride. Pride comes before a fall. You ever hear of Nebuchadnezzar? He was so vain that he built a golden statue of himself. And he made a command. He said, "When the music plays, I want everybody in my kingdom to worship this golden idol. Look at how beautiful I am. Look at you talk about exalting yourself." He was always throwing a party in his honor. And it took three people. How many changed the nation of Babylon? Three. And four, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And you know what? They were about your age, Elliot. You're a nation changer. You're a nation changer. God's going to use people with a heart like yours to change nations. Three kids said, "I ain't worshiping that idol." Everybody's bowing, worshiping. They're standing up. Because they only worship the one true God. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was mad. There's another word I like to use, but I'll just say mad. And he said, "Let me explain this to you. I'll give you a second chance. When the music plays, you bow and worship me." So they, I don't even know how I got off on this, but anyway, someone needs this. So they started playing the music. Everybody's bowing and worshiping this idol. Three kids stand up. That took some guts. The king was so mad, so furious. He said, "Make the furnace seven times hotter." They bound them up, and the people that threw them into the fire got burned up. That's how hot it was. But you know what? God will stand with those who don't compromise. God will stand with those who stand for him. when you stand for righteousness, for what is right in God's sight, not what's right in man's sight, what's right in God's sight, God will stand with you. Oh yeah, Stephen got a standing ovation from God when he stood up for the Lord because he was falsely accused, but I can't go there right now. So there, these three kids, they were thrown into the furnace because they refused to compromise. No matter what you face, tell yourself you're not going to compromise what God said in his word. You're not going to compromise faith. You're not going to compromise the word of God. You're not going to compromise. Not in the littlest of area. You start giving place to the devil, he'll take over. You give the devil an inch and he becomes a ruler. So these three kids were there, and then all of a sudden the presence of the Lord went there with them. And they were in the fire, and they were dancing, they were having a good time, and the king had a place where he could look into the furnace, and he said, I see a fourth man in there. And they were brought out of the fire. They didn't even smell like smoke. And because they refused to compromise, Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that we're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You want to change the heart of a nation? Don't exalt yourself. You can't do it in your might, in your strength, in your power. No, you got to do it through God. You're not going to change things through protest, but you will change things through prayer. We're going to have a complaining about the government party, but there's no complaints allowed, only prayers. If you want to complain, turn your complaints into prayers and watch God work. If you're so sick and tired of being sick and tired, then come to the church, pray, seek his face, and watch what God can do. He's just waiting for you to turn control into his hands. As long as you try to do it, you're going to be hitting your, it's be like getting up and hitting the brick wall, getting up and hitting the brick wall. But when you let God do it, he can do great and mighty things. It's time that we have a revival of prayer in this nation. Yeah, our land needs healing, but God's not going to listen unless we, his people, pray. You want to change the heart of a nation? It begins with the individual. All it takes is one. Do you realize? You don't need 10 sparks to start a fire. You only need one spark to touch that kindling. You need one spark to touch that kindling, and that, guess what? A fire will begin. And once you got a fire going, it's a lot easier to spread. Would you be the spark? Would you be the spark? One spark causes a fire. One candle. You go into a dark room with a candle and you'll give some light. But you bring some other candles and you take your fire and share it with those other candles. And now those other candles got the light starts to increase. And darkness, more darkness starts to flee. If you want darkness to flee, you need more light. All you got to do is turn on the light. Share your light. Go with me to you got to rely solely on Christ. His name, his power, his word. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it through intellect. You could be the most intellectual person, the most eloquent person, the most genius of a scientific mind, the most sharpest mind. But you know what? You're limited. You need the power of God because his ways are higher than our ways. And the way to tap into the power of God is through prayer, through humbling yourself. All right? Go with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We are going to change the heart of a nation, and we're going to start by changing the heart of me. Remember that phrase, the buck stops here? Let's change that a little bit. The change starts here. All right? Say that. Say, the change starts here. Say, the change starts with me. And if you want to open yourself up to change, you're going to have to let go of what people think. Well, I don't want to do that because so-and-so might think this. Well, who's so-and-so? Are you going to stand before so-and-so at the end of this world? Do you think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cared what anybody else thought, especially the king? Do you think Abraham cared what people thought when he was saying how, I'm Abraham, I'm a father of many nations, but where are your kids? You think he cared what people thought? Do you think Daniel cared that they made a law that said you can't pray? The first thing he did was he went and prayed. He changed things. He got thrown in the lion's den for praying. A lot of people, if they knew they were going to get thrown to the lions for praying, they said, I'm not going to that prayer meeting. Daniel had his own prayer meeting he became lion food. But you know what? The lions weren't hungry, except for the Lion of Judah. See, the Lion of Judah is the king of lions, came down to that den, and he caused the other lions to sleep. Because there was a heart in Daniel that said, I'm not going to compromise. I don't care, but I'm going to call upon my God. He changed the nation. Daniel changed the heart of a heathen nation. Joseph changed the heart of Egypt. One man. If you don't think one man can make a difference, ask Abraham. One man became the father of many nations. Many nations. If you don't think one person can make a difference, talk to Noah. He found grace in God's sight. All God needs is one person to find grace in his sight. Where do you find grace? At his throne. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So you want grace? You come before God's throne. Turn your complaining into praising and praying and watch what God will do. Has anything changed by complaining about it? All it does is irritate people. It irritates God. When he had a bunch of people in the wilderness complaining, he sent fiery serpents. God doesn't want your complaining. He is not the complaint department. Turn your complaints into prayer. All it does is it's just one small adjustment which produces big results. If my people... Who's God's people? Do you belong to God? Are you God's child? If my people, if. Why did he say if? My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face. See, you got to turn from something to get something. You got to let go of some things to have some things. If you've got a two-car garage and you've got two cars in there plus other stuff, you can't get a third car in there until you get one car out. You got to get one car out to get another car in. If you've got 50 shoes in your closet and you buy another, it's going to be hard to get that other pair in there unless you've got a really big closet. You got to take something out to get something in. Amen? That's what we're doing today. We're going to see that we're going to change the heart of a nation. James chapter 5, verse 14. Of 13, I'm sorry. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. What do people do when they're afflicted? Oh, I'm afflicted. I'm afflicted. Mike, I'm afflicted. Nadine, I'm afflicted. Mike, I'm afflicted. He didn't say, text everybody that you're afflicted. He didn't say, send out an email that says, I'm afflicted. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him what? Pray. Oh, we need to get back to prayer. I mean, a prayer that's going to hang in there until the glory comes down. You pray until you know the way. That's called praying through. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Because usually if you're sick, it's kind of hard to pray for yourself. So you call for the elders and let them pray over you. What's going to happen? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. That means make well. The prayer of faith has some power behind it. I mean, it's got some teeth in it. It can grab hold on the promise of God and make it manifest. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. I thought you're just praying for sickness, but he also gets the whole deal. When you pray, God unveils his whole package. You get the whole package. I'm praying for this, but you get so much more. Solomon asked for wisdom, but he got riches and honor along with his wisdom. See, because God is always a too much God. He's almighty, all sufficient, more than enough. God is not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. Confess your faults to one another and pray. Don't confess their faults to someone else. The confession is between one, A and B, not C. You got to stop at B, and B has to have enough sense to pray. Confess your faults one to another, not to 10. Not to 20. And when you hit, if you're letter B, then stop, drop, and pray. Wherever there's a worldly fire, stop, drop, and pray. I feel like I'm on fire today. I'm having a good time. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God wants to, see, prayer brings the healing. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We need our land to be healed, but it's going to take you and I to pray. And it only takes one. Do you realize that you plus God equals a majority? You plus God is a majority. Because when you got God, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's four right there. When you're in agreement with the Creator of the world, great things can happen. All right? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective prayer, it makes power readily available. How many want power that's readily available? Prayer, P-R-A-Y-R-E-R, power readily available at your request, at your ever request. Power readily available at your energetic request. At your every request. That's even better. P-R-A-Y-E-R. Power readily available at your every request. You want power that's readily available? Just ask. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, he said, ask the Father in my name that your joy may be full. You were walking around with this burden, this load on you. You were carrying it around, and all you had to do was pray in his name so that your joy might be full. I read a quote. I forget who it was. Oh, Leonard Ravenhill, I think. I don't know, but he said, prayer is where the burden exchanges shoulders. Prayer is where the burden exchanges shoulders. It goes from your shoulder to his shoulder because you weren't made to bear it, but he was. Cast all of your cares unto me because I care for you. We got to do the casting of the cares. That means you got to let it go in your mind, let it go in your mouth, and let it go in your actions. Let it go. And believe me, I've had to practice this. I haven't perfected it yet, but I'm striving for the mastery. I'm striving. I might miss it tomorrow, but I'm going to continue to strive. I'm going to get up and say, Lord, I missed it. Please forgive me. And I'm moving on. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was how many men? He was one man. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Say this, say, Elijah was just like me. And he prayed earnestly. Say earnestly. That it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Do you think some power was released in Elijah's prayer to hold up rain for 3.5 years? And then the rain came at his word? Well, who does Elijah think he is to pray that it won't rain? If you read Deuteronomy 11, it said, God will, if you do wickedness, if you disobey my commands, I'll shut up the windows of heaven so it does not rain on the earth. Elijah had scriptural basis to pray that prayer. How'd you like to go to a place and say, it's not going to rain for 3.5, it's not going to rain except out my word? And just pray. Do you see how much power can be released when we pray? I want to encourage you to be a people of prayer. The Lord is rich to all who call upon him. I got God on speed dial. Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm here. You know, the Bible says to pray always. How do you pray always? Just anytime something comes up, you pray. You need help, you pray. You need wisdom, you pray. You need comfort, you pray. You need strength, you pray. That's all. You don't have to be, you don't have to spend 8 to 10 hours. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. No, that's not. Just have an attitude of prayer. Allow God in your everyday conversation. Change occurs when people seek God. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. He was the smallest person in the Bible. He was only knee high. Change begins with the individual. Change is sparked by prayer, and change occurs when people seek God. But in order to seek God, you got to turn away from some things. I've discovered that you cannot seek God while watching the television. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did. I have discovered that. A friend of mine, he used to read the Bible before he goes to sleep, but he found himself sleeping usually with his book open. So what he did was he sat on the edge of his bathtub to read the Bible. That way he wouldn't fall asleep. And that ended up saving his life. He was in a motorcycle accident, and he slid so many feet on his back. And when he got done sliding, he got to his feet, and he was perfectly fine because of the word that he put inside of him. Because he was quoting the word. He got up and he was fine. It works. I got hit by a van and she quoted the word and I'm fine. I'm here. She could have reacted differently. I didn't know what was happening. I wake up and I'm thinking, why am I looking at the sky and wearing my shoes? And Fiona just comes and she gets a word from God and she lays her hand and she speaks the word that she just received, and that made the difference. No broken bones, no eternal injuries, no head injuries. That's God. Nehemiah chapter 1. He sees the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, the city that he loved. And he didn't complain. He didn't say, I can't believe what a mess they've left this city in. Those guys ought to be wrung by the neck. It's not what he did. He began to pray. Nehemiah. Verse 8, chapter 1. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that you commanded thy servant Moses, saying, If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me, keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from there and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. If you've been scattered to the four corners of the world, when you pray, God can bring it together. Now, these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Lord, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Prosper, I pray you, your servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Did Nehemiah have prosperity? Yes, because the king sent a letter saying, you can have the timber, you can have whatever you need, I authorize it. Nehemiah had everything he needed to rebuild the temple, and it came through one means, that's prayer. He had power readily available that was at him because he requested. And he went on to rebuild the temple in like 52 days. Did he have opposition? Yes. A person by the name of Sanballat and two other people wanted to oppose him because they didn't want to see the work of God built. But let me tell you something. Tough times require tough prayer. Sometimes you got to fight with one hand and build with the other. Sometimes you got to stand like this and pray and see the work done because you're going to have opposition. Let me tell you something. If you want to advance in the kingdom of God, don't just expect Satan to lie down and do nothing. He'll try. But you know what? Through prayer, you can overcome whatever he throws at you. I got to hurry up. You got to seek the Lord with all your heart. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give you 33% of my heart today. How many would like me to bake you a birthday cake and only half bake it? This is what I call a dough birthday cake. Some of it is good, but some of it is like dough. Anybody want that? But yet we give God only part of our heart all the time. Part. God wants the whole thing. Aren't you glad that the crucifixion wasn't in part? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give in to one temptation? He didn't tell one lie. He performed. He said, I've come to fulfill the law. He did everything that was required of him of the law. So, why is it strange that when he should ask us for our whole heart? Some of you are holding on to some things that produce death in your life. Things of the past, things you've experienced, habits, but they just generate death in your life. God wants to resurrect you. He wants to restore to you. Today is a day where we change our hearts so that we can really change the heart of this nation. We're in a greater cause. Some of you have fought on our armed forces, and we thank God for you. Every time, if I'm traveling somewhere and if I see a soldier or a group of soldiers, I at least go up to one and I tell them, thank you for your service. I do. I've done that many times in the airport. Obviously you can't tell a whole group unless you have that, but you can go up to one and say, thank you. That's what I do. But you know what? Every one of you are a soldier in the army of God. And it's time to fight like a good soldier. That means you gotta put to death some things of this world. You got to stop doing some things that produce death and start doing things that produce life in your life. Real change sometimes is not comfortable. I like my little area here. It's so comfortable. I'm not going to move from here no matter. Oh, it's so comfortable. Ooh, this feels good. Oh, we got to do this. Oh, but I'm so comfortable. Let me give you a swift kick in the cans. Right now, we're going to kick the cans because miracles come in cans. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go with me to Joel 2:12 and I'm closing. Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Joel chapter 2. True change is activated through repentance. What's repentance? You're going this way and you realize, ooh, this is the wrong way. And repentance means to turn around and to go back where you came from, to get on the right path. Oh, here's the way that I'm supposed to go. Great. But see, I had to turn around. I had to stop going down the wrong path so that I could start going on the right path. You'll never get on the right path if you're on the wrong path. How many's found that out? You're traveling to Florida and you take an exit to go to Boston and you're not going to get to Florida. You take a wrong exit, you're not going to get to where you need to be. And too many people, we exit off the highway that God has called us to, the highway of holiness, the narrow path. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to holiness. Narrow. It's easy to be destroyed, but it takes someone with conviction and strength and fortitude to go on the narrow path. All right, now I got to finish. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. That's why God wants you to turn to him. Not so that he could bop you on the head. Like that game, you got to bop the beavers or whatever. Boom, 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 you know. So that you can experience his grace and mercy. He's slow to anger. He's of great kindness. He repents of him of evil. When you turn to God, you're not going to get a scolding. You're going to get arms wide open. Did the prodigal son get a scolding from his father when he returned home? No, the father was rejoicing. He said, the son that was lost is now found. Kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. He's restored. My son has come home. Hallelujah. He threw a party. God's just waiting for you to make that turn. Change your direction so that he can throw you a party. Joel, repentance was the first message that John the Baptist preached. Repentance was the first message that Jesus preached. And repentance was the first message that was preached on the day of Pentecost. Acts 3:19, the people said, what must we do? Peter said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of God. For times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So if the first message of John the Baptist and of Jesus and of Peter was repentance, what happened to the church? When someone comes to Christ, we ought to say repent. Jesus said repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be baptized. Repent is surrender. We're going to have a time. Today, I'm calling you to fall. Fall on your knees, fall on your face, doesn't matter. Stand up, doesn't matter. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm putting a line in the sand. It's not sand, but that's a line. It's a big 14-foot, 14-inch line. If you want to cross that line, it's not for the weak. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it's for the strong and the courageous. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous and go and possess the land. I'm looking for people who are going to possess this land, who are going to change the heart of this nation. And the way we're going to change the heart of this nation is we're going to change us through prayer. We're going to pray, we're going to hear from heaven, we're going to do what God says do, and then God's going to bring about the change. So I want you to play that, Brother Jeff, and you could put repeat on that song. Now is where the rubber meets the road. How do you act? Change begins with the individual. Change is sparked through prayer. Change is activated through repentance. And change occurs when people seek God. Will you be that person? Will you be that spark? Will you take your place and do what God's calling you? Will you step up to the plate and face the challenges and be a person of prayer and of worship and of turning to God, turning away from things that produce death and turning to life? I set before you life and death, blessing and the curse. I would that you choose life. I want you to choose the life, but it's your choice. Now we make our choice in Jesus' name. If that speaks to you, be one to cross the line. Be one to enter into the presence of God with worship and prayer, with weeping, fasting, and mourning. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you, oh God. We cry out, Father, and we ask you to forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings, our faults, the times that we've missed it, the times that we didn't seek you, the times that we put other things first. We come before you, Father, and we turn from our wicked ways. We lay them down before you, oh God, and we cry out to you, Father. This land needs healing. I need healing. I need restoration. I need deliverance. I need refreshing water. I need to drink from the wells that are ever living, Father. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we cry out. We call upon you, oh God. Hear our cry, Father. Bring healing to this land. Use me as a spark. Use me for whatever you want to do, Father. I commit, consecrate, and dedicate my life to you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to do my own thing, my own way. I'm giving it all up. I surrender all to you, Lord God. My family, my finances, my friends, my career. Hallelujah. I give it to you, Lord God. I put it into your hands, oh Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, we just worship you.
Holy Spirit be forever near.
Just cry out to the Lord best you know how. Cry out from your heart. Cry out. He hears your voice. He hears you. Yes, Lord. We're here to answer the call. We're here to surrender all. We're here to walk by faith so that we don't fall. We're here to give you all. Oh, we call upon you, Lord God. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. We pray for this nation, Father. Our nation, our government needs to be healed, Lord. We need righteousness to take over our nation's capital, Father, in the name of Jesus. We need a revival of prayer.
The glory come down.
We call upon you, O God.
Let the fire fall.
We come before you in the name of Jesus.
Let the glory come down.
We will stand. We will fight. We will put on the armor of God.
Let the glory come down.
Lord, you said for us to pray for the nations. We ask you, Lord, for the nations. Beginning in Palmyra, Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, the United States, every continent, every people group, every land, in the name of Jesus, may the glory of the gospel go forth to every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. May they confess Jesus Christ. Jesus. Oh, Father, may people be saved and delivered from hell and Palmyra, beginning right here, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. We cry out, Father, for revival, for refreshing, for strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. We cry out, Lord, that you would breathe across this land with your mighty Holy Spirit. And Father, we consecrate and commit our gifts, our talents, our abilities to be used for the kingdom of God. May we be instruments of righteousness and holiness. Oh, Father, you put healing in our hands. May we be bold about our testimony of Jesus Christ. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, Father. Fill everyone here with the fire of God. Fill them, flood them with light in the name of Jesus. We push back the darkness. We're going to stand on the promises of God. We're going to stand as a body united. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. Let the fire fall. Let the glory come. Let the presence of the Holy Spirit, Father, come upon us in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the fire. The fire is beginning to fall. The fire is beginning to fall. Oh, Father, let the fire fall. Burn the wood, the hay, and the stubble, all of the works of the flesh, all of the dead works. Burn it up with your fire in the name of Jesus.
That the glory.
Hallelujah. Father, we stand for this country. We stand in the gap. We intercede, Father, for our president, our vice president, for Congress, for the Senate, for every governor, for every mayor, for every person in leadership in this government, Father, in the name of Jesus. May their eyes be opened so that they can see the truth. May they have an encounter with God Almighty. May the Word of God find an entrance into their heart. Father, we repent for what we've allowed this country to become. We repent, Father, for not praying, for not doing our part, for not participating like we should. We ask you to forgive us, oh God. We ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and heal our land. We cry out, Father, heal our land. We pray for our soldiers who are standing and fighting the terror, Father. Oh, give our soldiers the victory, Father. Touch our soldiers. Protect them, Lord. Keep them from evil. Keep them from harm in the name of Jesus. Give wisdom to our military leaders, Father. Let them hear the voice of God. Let a prophet be sent to our government, Father, to our military. Let them hear the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Let revival come through our soldiers, every military person.
If we turn from our unrighteousness,
Father, we are not dependent on the world system. We are in the world, but we are not of it. Father, we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We cry out to you, Father. We're going to be people of prayer. We're going to be people who practice your principles. We're going to be people who walk in the light of the word. We're going to be people who love one another unconditionally in the name of Jesus. We're going to be people, Father, who are full of the Spirit and power. Oh, let your glory
and honor
rest in this place. Fall on us now, Father. Oh, let the glory fall on us. Let the glory fall on us. Let the glory fall on us, Father. Oh, Rabakasanda. Let us experience your holiness. Your purifying fire. Your God, our God, is a consuming fire. He wants to consume us. In the name of Jesus.
Fire, let the wind blow. The glory come down.
We're not going to turn territory over to the enemy. We're going to take back our schools, our families, our city, our neighborhoods, in the name of Jesus.
Come down.
of God to cut through the lies of the enemy. Oh, we let the glory fall, Father. Fill everybody here, Father, with the Holy Spirit and power. Baptize them with fire. 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 Breathe on them, Holy Ghost. Fire. 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 Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Thank you, Lord God. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We lean not to our own understanding, but we acknowledge you, Almighty God, in all of our ways, that you may direct our paths. And if you just need a personal touch from the Lord, maybe you need healing in your body. You need Him to supply you with something, do something in your life. I just want to make it available to pray for those who would want that. If you need hands laid on you for anything, just want to ask you to come up, and Pastor Fiona and I will lay hands on you and allow the Lord to do whatever you need to do in your life. Because God is good. Amen. He's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.